I said, Tim, that's where the fence is going to go in. Are you okay with it? And he said, yeah. I was trying to avoid this.
Her problem.
The fence that you put up was put up in the wrong place.
Her neighbor's solution.
They took down the fence.
In the middle of the night with their children.
Then a line is crossed.
She claims you punched her in the back.
I turned around to swing. My husband grabbed me up by the collar.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. This is Judge Judy. Teresa Clark is suing her neighbors, Janet and Tim Burton, for destroying her fence and for the cost of a survey.
Order. All rise. Quiet in the courtroom. It's case number 521 on the calendar in the matter of Clark versus Burton.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Party's been sworn in. You may be seated. Have a seat.
Ms. Clark, you understand that you have an uphill battle in this case. You moved into a house that was owned by whom?
I bought it from a flipper, William. I don't know who the original owner was.
Who did you move in with?
I moved in. My niece and I moved in at the same time.
Okay. So you and your niece moved in, and your niece had two dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So you wanted to fence in the yard.
Yes, ma'am.
Because she had two medium-sized dogs,
right,
whatever they were. When you bought the house, the Burtons were already living there.
Yes.
How long have you been in the house?
14 years.
And you wanted to put up the fence at your own expense.
Right.
Because it's something you wanted. According to you, you got the consent of one neighbor on one side, put up the fence. The fence that you put up that is in between your home and the Burton's home was put up in the wrong place. You didn't know it at the time, but you actually put your fence on their property. And would you just go over and show me where their house is and how much property your fence encroached on their property?
Sure. This is the Burton house, and this is my house.
Mm-hmm.
This blue line is the property line according to taxation. This is the fence. So it exceeds.
Which is the fence?
It actually is inside the blue line here. Up to this point is when it encroaches on their property and then cuts back over to mine.
So how many feet does it encroach on to their property?
It is about 9 inches over at the back, and I'm going to say a couple of feet at the front of the fence.
So several feet in one place going to 9 inches at its narrowest point.
Right.
Is that about correct?
Yes.
So there came a time when one of the Burtons asked you to move the fence.
Yes, ma'am.
When was that?
June of 2017, 2 years after the fence had been erected.
June 2017, they said, please move the fence. It's on our property.
Well, that's not exactly what she said.
What did she say?
She approached me in my driveway, and her exact words were, you need to take that fence down.
Okay. She said, you need to take that fence down. You said, why?
I said, why?
And she said?
I don't have to tell you why.
Is that what you said?
No, ma'am.
What did you say?
Initially, I put it up and asked her to remove it.
That was 2 years before
yes.
this discussion
yes.
in the driveway.
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about that discussion, Mr. Burton. Where did it take place?
It took place when I was cutting the yard, the front yard. She was out doing some work in our garden, or she was in the front of the house doing something, and I approached her, and I asked her if she could take down a fence. I also advised her that I have a real estate license, that she was a roachman up into the property, and she wasn't trying to hear that, so.
Okay. In any event, there had been discussions about taking down the fence. Whether it was one discussion with her or more with him and her, they resorted to self-help and took down the fence.
In the middle of the night with their children.
I don't care if they did it on Shabbos. If the fence is on their property, whatever fence is on their property, they're entitled to remove, because there is a law called the law of adverse possession, which means once you've been told to remove a fence and you are using somebody else's property by putting up a fence so that they can't get onto their property, and if you leave it there for a certain number of years, difference in different jurisdictions, some places it's 10 years, then you own the property. Then, in effect, that property becomes yours because it has been openly used as somebody else's property. What?
What I want to tell you is that I was never adverse to moving the fence. I did not have that conversation with Tim.
Just a second. I said, when
no.
I started my
no.
statement to you, I said whether you had one conversation or more than one conversation, you were put on notice that they wanted you to move the fence. Now, what a person should have done, Ms. Clark, at that point, Let us assume that what you told me was true, that Miss Burton said to you, I don't have to tell you why. Let's assume that's true. But now she's told you to take down the fence. So what a reasonable person would do, a prudent person would do, would say, she's telling you to take down the fence. There has to be a reason. And the only reason she could feel as if she has the right to tell me to take down the fence is because it's on her property. That's what I would think. So the next thing that I would do is get a surveyor. And have the surveyor come out and say, well, she's right, it's on her property.
And I don't disagree with you at all. I would have moved the fence. I'm still happy to move the fence. The new fence is going in further in towards our property where it doesn't encroach on them at all. My issue is that I asked them to walk the property with me to show where it was going to be. Then when the fence company came out to actually start putting the fence in, they spray painted the yard. Tim was out working in the yard, as he very often is. We see each other a lot in the yard. And I said, Tim, that's where the fence is gonna go in. Are you okay with it? And he said, yeah. I was trying to avoid this.
If you really want to avoid this, you don't say to someone who is not in that business, is this okay with you? What you say is, I've gotten a survey and this is my property. That's what a homeowner does, because if you just bought this house from a flipper. A house usually comes with meets and bounds, where it is, and they usually stake out property. If because of the way you purchased the house, you didn't have that, then you invest a few $100 and get the place surveyed so that you can put it in right the first time instead of asking him, what kind of business are you in, Mr. Burton?
I'm a manager at Toyota.
He's in the car business, so he...
No, I was just asking him to confirm that we agreed that's where the post would go.
Do you understand?
I totally get it.
Do you understand what I'm saying to
yeah.
you? Okay, so they're entitled to take down the fence that's on their property. And they're not going to pay because you want money owed for the destruction of property.
They made the fence unusable, Your Honor, by cutting it down themselves.
Oh, you mean you wanted them to spend money to
no.
have it taken down?
No, I would have spent the money to take it down and protect the chain link so that I could reuse it.
So on what date did you have the conversation with Miss Burton?
When she told me to move the fence?
Yes.
That was in June of 2017, 2 years and a couple of months after the fence had been up.
Okay. And
until
what
that
did
day,
you do?
I had no idea.
Wait a second. What did you do after June of 17?
We had the conversation in the driveway.
In June. And then your answer is, in August, I saw Teresa outside and tried speaking to her about moving her fence. That's what she says. Again, that was in August. When did you finally get a survey?
I got a survey in September, October of 2017.
Well, that's too long, Ms. Clark. If she spoke to you in June and you did nothing in June, July, August, September, October, that's 5 months later. They can take down their fence and I don't care if they make it into wood chips.
But at that point, I didn't know it was on their property.
Listen a second. I'm not ascribing what they knew. I'm telling you that in June, I would have gotten a surveyor to come out, surveyed it, and then said they told me they wanted me to move the fence. I'm going to do it in an orderly way so I can save the fence. And by July, it would have been finished. But in June, July, August, September, and October, you did nothing.
No, that's not true.
Well, that's what you say in your answer.
I would have to look back and see exactly when the survey was. I can't remember if it was after our conversation.
I don't care if it was after the survey. You did nothing about removing the fence until October.
Because I had no proof that it was on their property.
Okay, we're not going to keep going back and forth with this. Okay, now I have a counterclaim.
Judge Judy can...
We agreed on the amount of $3,500, and I was to receive a video in the equivalent of a $25,000 production, fully produced video.
So for $3,500, you were going to get $25,000 worth of product?
Correct.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Teresa Clark says neighbors Janet and Tim Burton damaged her fence. The Burtons are countersuing for the cost of property removal and an assault.
Now, counterclaim, actually, the fence posts are still on the property and it's going to cost them money to remove the fence posts. That's what their part of their claim is. The other part of the claim is that when you were having a discussion with Miss Burton, that she claims that you punched her in the back or put your hands on her. I want you to tell me about this incident because you're not seeking any substantial damages. You're seeking the money to remove the posts and a dollar for her putting her hands on you.
When we were out there, my husband and us with our kids removing the fence over so that it could be reused, the niece there came out and saw us doing it, said we couldn't do that, and we told her yes. She went inside, got Miss Clark, and then she engaged with my kids first in banter.
Tell me what the conversation was. How old are your children?
Well, at the time 16 and 14 or 15.
Okay, tell me what the conversation was.
She was saying, you can't be moving this off, and this is my fence, I pay to put it up, and she engaged.
That kind of
Yes, back and forth. And I told my kids to just ignore. I said, don't engage, just ignore. So she kept on and on, back and forth. And then my husband engaged a little bit with her and said, look, we told you. And I said, guys, just ignore. So I, in turn, turned my back and just continued, unscrewed the stuff to take down the fence. So I didn't see her coming or anything. All I felt was three on my back, three punches or whatever on my back. And so I turned around to swing. My husband grabbed me up by the collar and picked me up. And I was like, I can't believe you just hit me. I can't believe you hit me. And so my husband and my two kids. Yeah, she was like, I don't even remember what she said when she said, when I said, I can't believe you hit me. My kids and my husband, they both picked me, all three of them picked me up and carried me in the house. And he made some exchanges with her, telling her, you know, this isn't what you want. You don't, you know, want to do any of that. And then she was saying, I'm going to call the police. I told her, call the police. You know, they're going to tell you the same thing. You should have never put your hands on me. So then the police came. And when the police came, we all came back outside.
Either of you have police report?
No, because I did not file any charges. I told a police officer, I said, look, no, I
don't
just,
tell me what you told the police officer.
I didn't file any charges. I just wanted it done. I just said, we'll just leave it as it
is. I'm hearing.
I didn't jab at her at all.
You want me to believe, carefully, you want me to believe that in that scenario, she's not seeking monetary damages. She's actually looking for more of an apology for putting your hands on her, not necessarily punching her, maybe like this. She says, you're not supposed to put your hands on somebody. Is what you're telling me, Ms. Clark, very carefully, that you didn't put your hands on her that night?
My shoulder touched her shoulder.
Okay, I got it.
I went around to reach. I reached around her to grab the fence.
I got
it. And my shoulder bumped her shoulder.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today,
Ms. McSherry, you do understand that if he has that email where you say that you got the product free from somebody else, if he has that email, your case is dismissed. Do you understand that? So you would understand why I would dismiss your case.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Teresa Clark says neighbors Janet and Tim Burton damaged her fence. The Burtons are countersuing for the cost of property removal and an assault.
Can I see the bill for removing the poles, please?
And I have an estimate for that as well, Your Honor.
I'd like to see your estimate for moving.
I also have a video showing that the fence is intact. There's nothing that need to be done to
it. Just a second. She's not getting any money for the fence. I'm just looking at her bill for her estimate for removing the poles. Well, the only thing that they're adding is you have remove existing posts and fence from your estimate, and she has a bill for $350, and the bill for $350 includes removing the concrete footings and also filling in the holes that are there. How many posts are there?
Total of eight.
And your estimate is for $350?
Yes, ma'am.
Sounds totally reasonable. You're also asking for a dollar for your neighbor putting her hands on you.
Yes.
You got it. $351. Judgment on the counterclaim. Your claim's dismissed, Ms. Clark. We're done.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Well, I'm disappointed because I just don't think people should act that way.
You know, we've tried multiple times to, you know, resolve it. And, you know,
you don't just come over to your neighbors and cut down their fence without having a conversation with them and trying to work things out.
Yeah, I think if, you know, she hadn't have been aggressive, then, you know, we could have just, you know, given her a time frame to have it removed, and it wouldn't have been any issues.
I'd love to mend the fences. I think we can have a drink and be done with it.
I'm fine with that. I mean, I don't care. Like I said, I didn't really have any personal problems with her.
It's just a matter of, let's get this behind us. It's just been ugly, and I don't like it.
And like the judge said, just a sorry for putting her hands on me. I'm fine with that. That's all she has to say, and then it's over with for me.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of McSherry versus Stevens. Step forward.
Kathy McSherry is suing video producer Louis Stevens for the return of a down payment to produce a marketing video.
Ms. McSherry, you had a project that involved advocacy for cancer patients.
Correct.
And you were working on this project as a business.
Correct.
Trying to get it up and running. You retained the defendant to create a video of what your business was. So first, in 30 seconds or less, tell me what your business is.
I invented a device for the early detection of anal cancer, most specifically for an anal pap smear.
Okay, and you have a patent on this?
I do. I have 2 utility patents, 1 patent pending, and a 3rd design.
And you wanted the defendant to create a video about that product?
Correct.
How did you find him?
I also do real estate, so I have a social media manager that helps me market my real estate. And as he was explaining to me the power of social media, I said, I would love to use you for my other business. And he referred me to Mr. Stevens.
And I assume that since you're a business lady and savvy enough to be involved not only in business, but in inventing, I assume that you did some due diligence about him.
I looked at his website. And
okay, so you did some due diligence, and you retained him to make this video. What month and year did you retain him?
August of 2017.
And what was his fee?
He wanted originally $5,000 for the video, to which I said I couldn't afford it. And so we agreed on the amount of $3,500. And I was to receive a video in the equivalent of a $25,000 production, fully produced video.
So for $3,500, you were going to get $25,000 worth of product?
Correct. That's what I thought.
Not so savvy a business lady. So in your mind, you had to say to yourself, you can't produce a $25,000 product for $3,500. You can't. And so that's ridiculous. In any event, at some point, you became dissatisfied with the defendant's services. Now, how much did she give you in a deposit?
Deposit was 50% of the $3,500, which is $1,750.
And did you return any part of that to her when she told you to stop the project?
No.
Okay. She says she stopped the project because she was dissatisfied with how the project was going, correct?
Correct.
Mr. Stevens says you stopped the project because you sent him an email that MD Anderson had agreed to do the video for you for nothing. So, Ms. McSherry, you do understand that if he has that email where you say that this $25,000 piece that you were getting for $3,500 from him, and then you were getting it free from somebody else, if he has that email, your case is dismissed. You understand that? So you would understand why I would dismiss your case?
Oh, yes. In that case, I would understand
okay,
that.
Fine.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now, do you have that email?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to take a look at it.
When I have a moment to speak.
Oh, this is very easy. While all of this has been going on, I've also been speaking with the doctors at MD Anderson.
Correct.
They are interested in making a video about anal cancer at their institute with their people. I believe since the use will benefit their institution and me, there will be no cost to me. Also, how could I ever turn down the number one cancer institute in the U.S.? With that being said, could you please issue me a refund of $1,750 that I put out in advance? I know you spent time on my realtor video, and I would be happy to pay for that. You don't say in this email to him, I'm dissatisfied with your work, that you didn't follow through. Quite the contrary, you say, I've been very busy. Not too busy to not keep in touch with MD Anderson, but you hadn't been keeping in touch with him, according to your email. And then what you did was say exactly what he said you did. You said, I can get it done for nothing. I want my money back. But he had already put time into it. Now, how do you quantify his time?
He exaggerates on the time. He spent 2 hours with me. We only met twice. We didn't film. The project was to be to interview 2 and 3 doctors in different cities. Patients currently that have anal cancer.
You have no case against him. You canceled it because you got it for nothing. That's why you canceled the contract with him.
I didn't do a video with MD Anderson, Your Honor.
That's why you canceled the contract with him, because you got it done for nothing. That doesn't mean you have a case. Your case is dismissed. We're done. Goodbye. Arrivederci. Good luck with MD Anderson. They'll do it for you for nothing. And you've saved yourself at least $1,750. Just think about it that way.
Parties, step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
I'm disappointed. I paid for a full video that was supposed to be interviewing people flying to different cities.
Kathy was having trouble setting up the meetings in Texas and Northern California with the doctors and patients.
Patients with anal cancer and survivors, and none of that happened.
And I wrote the script, and I needed to finish the script with those interviews, and wasn't able to finish the script because we hadn't filmed the interviews with the key personnel.
I was starting to get this project off of the ground, so it's just very disappointing for me.
I wish her the best of luck. She has a great product that's going to save thousands of lives.